Those metal ones. There we go. Okay. And let's put the phone on the screen there, Daniel, and we can go from there. Shot. Okay, this chair is a backup if I'm going to have to sit down. Because if I stand and I move around, then this arm causes me hassles. But it's feeling fine now. I drugged up strong this morning. So everything's feeling very psychedelic. So I'm feeling very good. That's fun. It's going to be an interesting sermon. No, it's good. Yeah, belachelijke sermon, yeah. Oh, that's good. Yes, Yella Owens Jong. Tracy, it's nice to have you back as well. You look like you caught a tan. I mean, like you've caught some sun. Now, I just want to tell you that our weather was actually probably as good as yours, where you were in Europe there, gallivanting around and doing all over the place. But yeah, I had an awesome time with Tiffany and Tiamor and Jelena. That is pretty special. Yeah, lots of memories, I'm sure. Fantastic. Yeah. The other day, some of you might remember Shalom, who was here with us for a couple of years, well, a year or two and stuff. And he phoned me randomly, and this Cameroonian number came up, and I thought it was some prank call, you know. I'm like, hello, you think someone, David, who's going to call the prayer meeting, you know, that we're all going to be joining to. And it was Shalom from Cameroon, and he just phoned to say hello and connect and touch base with him and stuff. So it's been awesome. So if you guys remember, and he said, please just send greetings to the church, and as we remember him from, yeah, those we are a while back. It's been a couple of years now. Was it before COVID or after COVID? I think it was before he was here with us. So anyway, that's good. And then I just want to refresh a few things like we happened here. Do you remember what happened on the 9th of August here at church? Okay. Yeah, I know. But the reality is these are my notes I had for that week, and then kind of everything else happened and didn't kind of step in, because other people have been doing stuff here. But I want to just say what happened that morning was we had a beautiful time of worship, and then we went around the room and people just shared. There were probably about 10, maybe 15 people spoke into the microphone or doing stuff. And what I want to say to you, that is so important that we have times like that. You know, when you think stuff in your heart and you think stuff, you think you've got an articulate way of kind of processing it until you speak it out and you realize, actually, I've got to refine what I'm thinking to give it words. And so it's so powerful to speak something out. And that's what took place on that Sunday, that people were sharing and talking about what the Lord was speaking to them and saying to them and stuff. So I love having moments like that where the Lord just leads and doesn't kind of, you know, we just carry on with the same old, but hearing from people. And also then when you're done talking, don't go away now and doubt yourself of what you said. Because you go, oh, flip, I didn't make sense. I didn't know what I was saying. You're learning to articulate what's carrying in your heart. It's happened to me over and over the years. I'm feeling something, and I'm feeling, oh, I've got it. And then I try and say it. I'm like, I don't have language for that. I've got to build language for what my heart is feeling and what I'm hearing and articulating a thought, an understanding of something to give it language. So speak it out. Talk aloud in the shower. Talk aloud in the car when you're driving. It helps you articulate things. Very, very important. But I also want to just thank, you know, everyone who carried this church kind of over the last while. I have sat there kind of with a sore shoulder, but being assured that the strength of people around us is such an important and positive sign for us as a community. Yeah. I mean, Tracy, your sermon that you pulled out, well, you didn't pull out the bag. I mean, you've carried that stuff for a while, but you articulated what you're carrying was just outstanding, like brilliant. Andy, what you brought to us a couple of weeks ago, bro, like I know, again, you've been carrying this. And it's beautiful. Kathleen, like, babe, you excelled last week. It's like to see the quality what we have in this community. And Errol and Tina that have just held the fort in a way while I sat there and just, you know, allowed people to carry on. Not an easy position. But, you know, what a joy. Yeah. We've got such a beautiful array in this community that can speak and can share the depths of the heart of God. And I just sense an increase over all you people. Like, there's an increase. You know, God has poured out more upon you. And there's more to come. You know, don't settle for, oh, I was good. There's more. There's more that God will work in and through you as you allow Him to kind of shift. So I just thank you for what you've been saying and all that doing. And just Stephanie, thank you for your testimony last week, girl. Wow. So powerful. Let's applaud her. I mean, that's exactly that. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And just to chat with you before the meeting and you're hearing comments of people saying, I've never been in a church where someone can so vulnerably share their story. That's the beauty of the part about it, and that you encourage others, no matter what their circumstance, God is faithful. And you continue doing what you're doing. We bless you. Really, really, really powerful. Yeah. Beautiful and stuff. And I also wanted to give a testimony to Joe, who phoned me in the week. And Joe, it's a hectic journey since Bernie passed. I know it's been a hard road for you, but you've just kept going, my brother, and standing. And he's been believing for work. And I just want to honor those people that have brought him meals and just bring food around to the man's house. I mean, he's a bachelor. He's not going to cook much. I mean, this guy, you know what's going to happen there. But I mean, I bless you for just helping and food arriving your house. But he's been believing for work, and he's just landed a job that's worth of 1.5 months' work. That just gives you some stability. So bless the Lord, eh? Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. So as we are also entering into a season now where we're coming up to the Feast of Tabernacles and understanding what this feast is, we've been journeying with that and trying to get understanding over the last few years as we kind of give attention and time to. And I want to just start saying to us, I'll speak more into this next week as we get going, but essentially it'll start for us on Friday the 10th of September, and we're going to go on a journey together, and we're going to produce a booklet with devotionals, and we're going to journey together. And I've got guys from around the One Accord churches around South Africa and Pankaj in India, and we're going to be writing devotionals and go on a journey together to keep understanding what this appointed time, okay, remember, it's an appointed time. And it's not the Jewish feast, it's God's feasts for His people. We've been grafted into the story now, and the appointed times also speaks about, this is a dress rehearsal for a time that is coming when Jesus will fulfill all the feasts. He's fulfilled Passover, He's fulfilled Pentecost, and He's going to fulfill, well, He's partially fulfilled this anyway because we have His presence with us, in us. But there's coming a time where He's going to be with us in person, and He's going to tabernacle with His people. And we long for that day, that trumpet call that'll sound. Okay, so we're going to go on a journey together and then just embracing this. But there's a process there of starting as this starts with the 2 days of Feast of Trumpets, where there's a trumpet call that is blown. And we don't, as Gentiles, operate now where we blow a trumpet and call, but we know that there is the last trumpet call that we're awaiting. And we're longing for, but it's a call for the people to come, gather, assemble, okay, and consecrate yourself. Set your life right with God. And we're going to take this 10-day period leading up to that Day of Atonement, where we know Jesus has atoned for all our sins. Every day we can atone that, but there's such a powerful rhythm where you give it focus and attention once a year like this, where you look deep. Because we all go and we break bread once a month and we do this, but then we all pause and we reflect in the rhythms of our lives and say, God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any anxious, any ways in me, but lead me in the way everlasting. That was David's cry. Okay, we're going to go on a journey together, and you're going to look at your own self, but then we're going to thank the Lord for the atoning blood of Jesus. And then we go as a Feast of Tabernacles, understanding now that you are the temple and you carry the power of the living God within you. How are you effective in the marketplace? How are you effective knowing that the Lord Almighty is in you and through you, and you're a temple? Because Israel desecrated and defiled the temple through all the different things that happened. The temple had to be cleansed. So in your own life, you've gone through a place of cleansing, and then this temple that is restored back to thing is an effective place where people will know and understand you are the temple that the Almighty carries. Amen. So it's a freeing, beautiful journey that we go on there together, and we'll celebrate that as we align our hearts and stick to the rhythms of all, what Almighty God is saying to us. Okay, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. Okay, and this is Paul speaking about the body and all the different parts that make up all the different things in the body. And he's speaking about all the different parts, you know, some that are weak and indispensable, some that are less honorable. And he's speaking about the body that makes us one. But he says there in verse 26, he says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we honored Liam today, and we rejoice together of the achievement of this young man. But there are people that when we suffer and we face stuff, we are feeling the things together. Okay, this is not a thing that we just kind of bypass and go, oh, well, shame, good luck with that, bye-bye, and we move on, that kind of stuff. The word there, suffer, is actually meaning to sympathize together. We sympathize. I can't fix it. I can't necessarily change it, but I sympathize with you when we're walking through stuff. Okay? And it's the same word actually used in Romans 8 where it says that, you know, if I know that my spirit bears witness with his spirit, then I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child, then I'm an heir to the throne of Almighty God. And it says, provided that we suffer with what Christ suffered. So that he sympathizes with us, but we sympathize with what he went through because we're going through it. Okay, that's the power of what that is. And if we rejoice, we sympathize together in rejoicing. Okay? And I woke up with the words of the song. There's a song by Michael W. Smith. But there's one line in the song that says, he's teaching us to trust. He's teaching us to trust in him through what we're walking through. And I want to just give a little context to what's actually happening with just a few people, but you'll get an idea of what's playing out. And try and give context to what's actually happening here. Okay? Warren is clearly and obviously still in hospital. And that family is going through turmoil. Okay? He's got cancer. And they're trying to find bloods to help his hemoglobin levels arise. Because it's supposed to be at 6 and it's actually level 1 it was. And it went up to 3 and level 1 is disastrous. Half you are at the brink of death at those levels. And they cannot find a blood to match his with the right antibodies. They had 2 sections of blood that his body's rejected and won't take. Okay, they're under major pressure. You've got kids still at school running around. You've got the pressures of homes and paying rent and all these things that happen. We've got Thabo's middle brother who tragically took his life this week. But you've got Thabo now having to deal with, his brother had challenges. His brother had a lot of issues in his life. But it's still his brother. And you've got Thabo now struggling with his kidneys. So from all the chaos, he's standing with police. He's got to go to dialysis and sit in a hospital for a couple of hours after dealing with all that stuff. He's still believing for his kidney replacement. Okay? Christine, you had a proper fall and had some stitches put into your body. You've been struggling. Is it vertigo stuff? Just battling and struggling. But our message, Christine, she said, you know, we know of 8 different people that have fallen, that have broken bones and stitches in their body. You're like, you've never had that. What's going on here? You know, grace to you guys and your bodies. What's we suffering? Diane Ricks, Wendy's mom, a couple of weeks ago had a fall and cracked her tibia, the patella, kneecap and stuff. So was in a brace, was in a cast for a couple of weeks, took the cast off and the leg started swelling. She's been rushed straight back to hospital and stuff. When you've got a cracked tibia, kneecap, that thing and stuff, you can't walk. Okay, it's been hectic, right? Difficult. Nathan, you had your op on Monday, but he's not out the woods yet. This is an op on his heart. Okay, where they're trying to adjust and work, see what's happening with irregular heartbeats. You can't figure it out. And he's still not out the woods. He's got a process now of recovery. Okay, I'm adding, just see what's going on here. There's a lot happening. Sue Fox, our lady that runs Grief Share, that's why I said it's been delayed. She had a fall and broke her tibia, which is the calf muscle, the calf, basically that below the knee, the shin. Sorry, yeah, it's right. You see, I was meant to be a doctor. I'm very good at biology. I was head, shoulders, knees, and toes. You know, I once. This is bless old Mrs. Watson. Mrs. Watson was my standard 7 biology teacher. And after one exam, she came to me and she said, did you study for this exam? I said, yeah, I tried. It don't interest me, eh? The whole body and that stuff, it actually gets me a bit freaked out, eh? So anyway, Sue Fox is needing to have a whole knee replacement and stuff with a fall that she's just been in the UK to see her sons come back. And stuff. I don't know. There's something in the water. You guys are falling all over the place. And what's happening? It's hectic, man. I mean, I came off my bike a month ago.
But you're standing at the plane and you're gesticulating, using your arms, and we're watching you.
Stop using arm.
Stop using it.
See, this collarbone is dislocated. It sits out. Now, I'm going to be like that for the rest of my life. The doctor said, there's your party trick. You can say like, hey, look, chicken tuck sticks out. It's not cool, but it's been painful. Because when you're dealing with pain, it's an emotional thing you've got to work through. You've got to kind of try and keep going. It's not just at all ends, keep going. That's why I commend you guys just carrying the fort, because you're not in the headspace just to get up and do and go. That's what pain, that's what body does. Johan's having operations on his wrists. You know, another one tomorrow morning that you're going in and fixing this carpal tunnel syndrome. Who's?
Lisa Bell. Her dad passed away.
As well, your dad passed, eh? Okay. Sorry, man. Condolences to you guys. Now, it's hectic walking through that. It's hard. Okay, Aidan Clarence is dealing with the challenges with his health. He's not in a good place. Okay, there are many marriages just in this community, and I'm not saying many, like it's, there are marriages under pressure in this community. There are financial challenges we're facing in this community. And I'm speaking with people like their businesses has been at the point they've never struggled with cash flow like they ever have, like now. Saying, God, we need an injection, and then money comes in, or we can pay salaries. They've never experienced that. There's pressure, more than we've ever experienced. Okay? Things are tight. Many health challenges, issues, relational issues that people are walking through. And I guarantee we go through the room here, you will all tell me a story. Yeah. I mean, Wendy alluded to that. It's been a week. There's stuff that's happened, men, going down. Now, I know in our minds we're trying to figure out what is happening, what's going down, because I don't know a time ever. I've been in this church for nearly 32 years. I don't know a time when a community has faced so much stuff. I don't. It's just endless, over and over again, challenges. And I was talking to Steve Morris, you might remember, in the UK, and all their journeys and what they're believing and trusting God for, and things that just don't work out. And I said, bro, this doesn't feel like we just say 1995, you know, where everything just worked. It just all just happened, you know. Everything is to be contended for in this season. Everything is a contention. It's not just happening easily. It's like we've got to really stand and fight and believe and trust. And there's opposition. There's things that just don't work out as they're supposed to. But sure, God, where are you in this? Okay, we're believing and we're trusting you. And so we've got to ask the question, you know, what's going on? What is happening? What is happening? Now there's a few things you can put this down. You can put it all down to coincidence. You go, well, I don't know, it's just coincidence. It's just unlucky that it all just like landed at the same time. It's weird, but I mean, you know, that's what can happen. Well, I don't know. I've been around long enough to realize coincidence isn't always just coincidence. Bumping into somebody that owed you money is coincidence, and that's helpful. Hey, good to see you. Now this is a coincidence. Show me the money, honey. Anyway, that's never ever happened to me. I don't have anyone that owes me money, so it's fine. You just give it away eventually. It's fine. Don't ask for it back. But it can't just be coincidence, okay? Okay, maybe it's the systems of the world. Maybe it's everything around us that's failing. I mean, our government is brilliant. They're amazing at everything they do. You know, clearly not facetious, okay? It's failed. Okay, European governments, how many prime ministers do the UK need to have before, you know, they decide that they actually want one person more than 3 months to be in a position? Yeah. See, it's unstable. Okay, so is it the systems of government? Is it the systems of finance? Okay, the systems of education that are so infiltrated with narratives? Is it systems, you know, of health and the pharmaceuticals that are just so domineering and making so much money off people and they're stuck in systems? Is it all these systems that are causing all the trouble? I think they probably contribute to it, but it might not be creating all the hassle. Okay, so if it's not coincidence, and maybe, you know, it could be like, you know, the things around us, the world is changing, and it has radically changed in the last 30 years, there's no doubt. But then let's blame the devil for everything. Hey, let's blame him. He's to blame for it all. Okay, now there's part truth in that. Okay. The enemy hates us, right? He doesn't like the children of God because we are representatives of the kingdom, and we represent, like Jesus came and be as a representation of who the Father was, we are representations of who Jesus is through the church to the world, and he doesn't like us. But if you are caught in patterns of deceit and sin, and your hands are not dirty, and our hands are dirty, and your heart is impure, and you've given yourself to stuff that is false, that's exactly the opposite of Psalm 24. Okay, hands, clean hands, pure hearts, give yourself to nothing that's false, no deceit in you. If you're the opposite of that, that's sin, and there are consequences to sin. So the enemy has clearly got hold of your heart and pushed you into a place of temptation, Because the Lord will test you and to build your faith, but in the place of being tested, the enemy jumps on the back of that quickly and tempts you to do things your own way. And in the temptation, you fall into sin. Okay, in the sinful process, now we will all acknowledge this, with sin there are consequences. So if you are stuck in a rhythm of sin and then worrying why everything's going wrong in your life, you might want to rectify that. That's what we're doing now. We're coming up to a process where we look at ourselves and examine ourselves deeply and say, God, search me. Let's look deeply in my heart that I know that I'm in right standing with you. Look, your blood has covered it all, but it's a choice you have to make. It's a lifestyle you have to choose. It's a way of faithfulness that you want to live. It's not you declared righteous, but it's not sitting back nonchalantly and just going, oh, okay, it'll all fall into place. You actually have to pursue living holy and righteously. And the enabling power is the grace of God. Because none of you can do it in your own strength. That song we sang there that said, you know, that's the something about being paid and my record's clean. You see, but when your record is stained, you've got to clear the record. And the blood of Jesus clears the record and sets you in right standing. So when you're walking like that, it's a cop out to say, oh, the devil's causing all this trouble. But you're actually creating it yourself. So then we get to know people. I know Christine, and I've known you for 40 plus years. What's happening in their life is not because of sin. I can see it. I know their lives. This is just, wow, what's going on? And there is an enemy on the other side of this who hates us, and he will attempt to cause trouble in your life. But what he does is, it uses circumstances just like the Lord does. Okay, so I've asked you this question then. Okay, if it's not Satan calling this, then all of the stuff, which I think he has a part to play, the coward. Okay, this is how the enemy works. He'll lure you into something, lure you in, and you're caught in it, and then he stands back and goes, how dare you do that? Look at you. He's a coward, man. Okay, but the Lord, does he do the same process where he's going to put stuff on you and he's going to land you on things to teach you lessons? Is that the Father's heart for us? No. See the no in the room? Of course it's not. He's not going to land you with things and say, right, now we're going to teach you a lesson. Okay, well, let's see how they deal with this one. And then you react bad and he goes, see, you couldn't do it. No, that's not a Father's heart for you. He also uses circumstances to shape us, to mold us, to make us more like him. And he slowly molds and shapes us because we are frail people. And all that I'm saying, there's so much going on here. And we're trying to kind of, what is happening? Okay, so God is not upset with these people and put stuff on them to teach them lessons. That's not a Father's heart. Okay, your Father's heart that he sets us free. And then through our choices we make good and bad choices. He leads and guides us into that, into the truth. Okay? And I will say, despite all that's going on and all the chaos, and you've got to kind of understand what is happening, I am hearing some incredible testimonies of things that are happening in people's lives, like financial assistance and breakthrough, or relational things that are done. Yeah, relational things, though, there's all sorts of stuff. And he has the test. You see, when you're walking through something and life is very challenging and we're all facing stuff and somebody else has some sort of breakthrough and some sort of thing that you're actually able to celebrate with them without getting bitter and jealous about what's happening to them. And this is a frailty that the people of God have. And here's the thing, because we're all facing stuff. If someone gets up here and testifies of like, God's just given us this and this and that. I've got a business deal with 20 million. It's going to change my life forever. And ba da ba ba ba. You don't go, oh, well, that's great for you. No, you see, are you able to celebrate them and say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness? If he can do it for you, he can do it for me. And in our places of despot where Kathleen and I would be like, oh God, where are you? And we often said, well, Lord, really, if you're doing it for them, come on now, you're going to do it for us, seriously. I mean, you know, I've got a few mates overseas and stuff. I'm like, jeebus, like, really, Lord? That's just our humanity speaking, okay? I'm a real person too, okay? Also feel stuff. But we're willing to celebrate with each other to say, like, I'm not going to get bitter and jealous about your victory and your breakthrough. I'm going to celebrate it because your testimony must give me faith and courage and hope to say, yes, if it's happened for you, man, I'm going to do the same. See, Stephanie, a testimony is not about how bad your life was, it's what God's done. And well, if God can turn a life around like that, well, we thank Jesus for this prodigal in my family. You can also turn their life around and we can believe for that. Not to get all bitter and jealous, well, I've done it for them, I'm going to do it for me. Moaning and carrying on, it'll get you nowhere. It'll get you nowhere. It sounds like the Israelites out of the wilderness. Groaning and moaning and mumbling about how things were. Well, then you go back and live under slavery. See how that works for you. I promise it wasn't going to be better. Okay? I mean, testimonies. I mean, think of Keith and your folks. You know, like, I mean, your mom has passed, but his folks got saved radically out of, like, nowhere, really. I mean, God just worked in now. Keith's dad bothers him with sermons and says, have you listened to this sermon? Have you? And I was like, Dad, I actually have a job. I work. I'm quite a busy guy. Like, and stuff. But a radical turnaround. What a testimony. Where it was hopeless and it was hard. And his brother and his father never spoke. For years, they didn't connect. And now, as you reunited the connection and they have a love bond as father and son back together again. No one else could have done that except the love of Jesus. You know, so in the midst of all the chaos, they are good testimonies. And I really want to encourage you that if you have a testimony, I want to break off of you that, oh, I can't tell that because it just looks like, oh, my life's so happy now. Yeah. And you don't want to give your testimony because you're scared about what other people are going to judge you by. Rubbish. Right. Let's break that off. If you've got testimonies, send the testimonies. Yeah. We need to hear some good news. Yeah. Okay? And the Boca aren't going to keep us happy forever. I promise you. I've sat and mulled over this thing of what happens when we win the World Cup, and they all come home, and this country is like, wow, yeah, yeah, and like the streets are filled, and people are happy, and we're like, this country can get right, come on, man, we can make it happen, and everyone's got hope for South Africa to work again, and then 2 weeks later, it's all gone. Yeah. And we're like, nothing changed. No, nothing does change when we win the World Cup, but you know what happens? All that's happening is, there's a glimmer of hope of what it could look like, of things where people were actually unified around something. But because it doesn't last, it means it's soulish. It's just an emotion. Emotions will not lead you to strength and maturity in the things of God. It has to be spiritual stuff. So, Sio Kulisi, unfortunately, my butt, you have lost some favor because of your lifestyle that has lost traction in having authority for the things of the Lord now. You don't get now to voice your mouth and all those things. I unfortunately don't listen to you now. You can be a great captain and great opening trial or trial that he scored. Well done, pal. You're a good rugby player. But it takes character to be a person and child of God and to live for Him. When things are soulish, they won't last. The things of the Spirit build depth and truth and lasting and longing in our hearts and stuff. I mean, they're not here this morning. Sia, I had a meeting with him a couple of weeks ago. Like, he nearly died in his office. This man, I'll get him to share his testimony. He had a moment there, heart palpitations, and he'd gone to the doctors and they can't find anything wrong. He had an unbelievable experience. But God redeemed him, and he's alive and well. Things that are happening, some really, really good testimonies. But I want to just hop on a few things here as we wrap up. You know, 1 Samuel 36 says this about David. Now, David had just come back to a place called, I think it was Ziklag. And they, sorry? Wow, you see, Tracy's already brewing another sermon here. Just give me the date, Tracy, and I'll book you in, girl. No worries. 1 Samuel 30 speaks about David comes back with all his troops and all his wives and all his children all been taken. And they're freaking out. Like, God, I mean, imagine if I come home one day and the kids and the wife are gone. Someone came and took them. You're going to be fairly distraught, okay, and about the situation. And it says there's a line and it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord. There's something in that. He didn't create a worship service. Okay, let's have church so we feel better about ourselves. No, he knew who God was. And he said, God, I'm in trouble here. I need you. And he found strength in hope in God. Okay, there's a process of spirituality there that is very important. And not easy, but important. See, as a verse I read us this morning in Romans 8, that speaks about all creation groans. Okay, let's go back there. You know, creation itself groans in this bondage, okay? And I was explaining to you, the groaning there and the creation is speaking about this fallen world that was firstly designed and created and put in place in perfection. And then the fall happened. And animals all used to work together. I don't know how they would eat then, because if the lion had to actually kill the antelope, but the oak was chewing the antelope, we're like mates, and he's like, hey, but I'm about to eat you. You might want to run. It's like, they all got on. They must have ate just the plants. The lion ate the plants, you reckon?
Meat plants.
Yeah, meat plants. Wow. It's extra biblical information there, Christine. I thought I trusted you. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where I've read about meat plants. Yeah, anyway. It's like money growing on trees. Eh? Do we know that? Eh? It doesn't. Okay, but there's a groaning because it's longing to be set free from this bondage it's under. With the perfection, and we'll only see that in the new heaven and the new earth, where things are set in place. And we are also not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. These tents are frail, the things we face in this world, all the things we're going through, our bodies, our finances, the relational stuff, the things that are happening to us. It's just, there's a groaning. It's pressurized, it's difficult. But he says, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope.
Yes.
For who hopes for what he sees?
Yes.
But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Oh man, we've had to wait. And your life at this time we're living now is having to be patient. I always kind of think back to if we were living during World War II. I reckon people also were there saying it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Things are so bad right now. It can't be any worse. The attacks on Israel, but there was so much prophecy that hadn't been fulfilled. Like there was no Israel land. Okay, there was no fulfillment of that. There was so much having to fall in place. But things were so bad, there was a groaning taking place nearly 100 years ago. Think about it, nearly 100 years ago. Whoa, 1939, 2039, it's just around the corner. But we hope with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When it says that he helps us in our weaknesses, it doesn't mean that he comes and fixes it for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That word helps means that he actually partners and stands with you, believing that you will overcome.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a word, a similar word used in different contexts. Okay? So for we do not know what to pray, okay? How many times you'll get before the Lord and yes, Lord, you just, I don't know what to say. My dad always uses a reference to this one. When my sister was kind of 15 years old, she had to have a serious back operation where a third of her one vertebrae had crushed. And she always blames us for jumping her in the pool and breaking a vertebrae. We're like, girl, we didn't do that stuff there. But her bones were fragile and crushed. And she had to have a back operation that she could have been paralyzed from. And they were sitting waiting in the waiting room for the operation to be done. Now, this is, 35 years ago. And he says, we didn't know how to pray. We didn't have words. We just sighed. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, would you? That's groaning. You don't have words because that's what he says here. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. When you're going through so much turmoil and you don't have the words to say, he's interceding not for you and fixing everything. He's interceding with you. He's praying and believing with you. Because if he overcame, you can overcome. That's the power in this. Okay? And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Just imagine that. He is praying with you the perfect will. He's praying absolute perfection of what the Lord's heart and purpose is for you, that it's never going to fall short, because he knows exactly through the same Spirit that's inside of you, the Spirit of Jesus, and speaking your destiny out for you. Wow. And he has the power. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purposes. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. What a joy to know that we will be glorified in him one day. There's power in that. You see, what is happening? There's a groaning. So what is the groaning? What is this? I think it says in one of the verses here earlier on. Greatest subject. It speaks about birth pangs. It's birth pangs. Sorry. There we go, childbirth. 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Now he's picking up that childbirth thing, because who spoke these words? Jesus spoke about these words in Matthew 24. And I want to read Matthew 24 with us this morning. Only reading this to give us encouragement and courage to keep believing and to keep trusting. Because no matter what you're walking through, he's forming in you. He's shaping something in you. Okay? He's building something into you. Birth pangs, I've never experienced that. Okay? But they're very painful. Okay? It's a painful process, but then the joy of the baby that arrives nullifies all the pain. I'm sure you can also agree with this. Like some of your toughest seasons of life, when you look back upon them and you walk through them, I'm so thankful for them, because they've given me far more than when a season of success and prosperity would have been. Challenging times builds character. And character stirs a hope. I think there's a verse about that, right? And hope won't put you to shame. There's something deep about believing and trusting the Almighty with things that we walk through and we trust in Him. There's nothing like it. Can I want to give context. Now, Matthew 24, this is Jesus privately talking to His disciples. He's not preaching a sermon to everybody. Give context of who He's talking to. He's talking to just a few men close to Him and giving Him an understanding about what's going to happen in the short time coming, what's going to happen regarding His second coming, and the very end of the age, how things are going to play out. He's saying, listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. And now they walk, and he's giving all the woes in chapter 23. Woe to the Pharisees. Woe to this. He's giving it stick. He knows His time's coming, and He's setting an order. And then it says there in chapter 24, verse 1, and Jesus left the temple and was going away. Let me sit down and we can read this. Going away, and when His disciples came to point out to Him the buildings of the temple, but He answered them, you see all these things, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. He's talking about 70 AD that came up. Okay? And he's speaking about the signs of the end of days. And as they sat on the Mount of Olives, now if you sit on the Mount of Olives, you look at Jerusalem and you can see the walled city and you can look upon the city. It's beautiful. And the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us when these things will, tell us when will these things, gee, the English seems a bit weird here. Anyway, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Okay, now remember, see the three things. Talk about the temple, there's going to be destruction now. I'm coming, I'm going to return. They weren't even fully understanding what they meant his death and resurrection was going to happen yet. He's about to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. What will be in the coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. Now I want you, when we read these things, give context to what we are facing and what we're walking through. There are words of encouragement here to take hope, because we are seeing a lot of these things play out. See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. The church today has seen many led astray from false understandings. You will hear of wars. We are definitely hearing of wars. There actually are wars and rumors of wars. There are many wars and rumors going on right now. Many threats. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Have you realized how many earthquakes are happening? There's a place called the Ring of Fire. This is all the earthquakes, okay, that has taken place since December 2025 in that Ring of Fire. Okay, there are all those marks. The Ring of Fire, okay, indicates, you can see on the left-hand side of the screen, that is South Korea, China, that whole area. There's Australia, so it's not a great picture. But the Ring of Fire goes all the way around to the west coast of America. There's the United States and Mexico. That whole area is called the Ring of Fire. There's been a whole lot of earthquakes that have been going down in that area over the last, and it keeps going, but we are, if we're seeing more, I don't know what had happened 100 years ago, but they are saying there are more happening today. Well, Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago. Okay? Earthquakes in various places. And then he said these things. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Okay, we are living in birth pains time. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. He's speaking about the now. The disciples, they're going to face this stuff now. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You must remember when you read the Bible, it means that some things are fulfilled and some things will be fulfilled later as well. In prophecy, that takes place. This happened with the disciples. They were all killed, except John. All their lives were taken as martyrs for Christ. But there's coming a time when we will see that at the end of the age and the end of the time now. You see, it's the now and not yet tension that we're living with. You'll see things happening now. God will heal somebody. We'll see restoration. Some will play out. And then we trust for somebody else and nothing happens. It's the not yet. It's this tension that you've got to be okay and live with. If you're living in a kingdom now theology where everything must just happen because God's kingdom is poured out, there's no birth pains. You've got to have the tribulation. You've got to have the trial. You've got to have the struggle. This is part of being partakers in the beauty and the glory of Christ because we are partakers in the suffering and the things that we face. And it's building for you a glory that you will one day have before the Almighty God. It's building inside of you stuff. A very interesting conversation with Ella the other day in the car. And we watched this thing. Well, we watched it separately. We didn't sit together and watch it. But we watched, there's a documentary on Netflix called The Death of the Pastor's Wife. And yeah. Strike three. Yeah, strike three. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, you want to watch this one. In April of last year, 2024, I remember Kathleen mentioning this to me. She says, babe, this is the weirdest thing's come up. And Kathleen always says, in my algorithms on TikTok, this weird thing came up and stuff, blah, 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 feeds her information, and she's our newsroom. Kathleen's newsroom in our house. She updates us with everything. The guy, they do a church service, okay? He always does these fun things in their meetings where they play funny worldly songs, and then they put Christian words to it, and they do one of these, and everyone's laughing, and he does his sermon, and at the end of the sermon, he gets up and says, oh, guys, I just want to let you know that my wife died this week. They were like, what? And they were estranged. She hadn't lived with him for a couple of months. She went off and committed suicide. And he announced it at the end of the meeting and carried on like it was normal. Yeah. And people are like, that's not normal, bro. Something's a little bit strange here with your behavior. And we're watching guys like this that are leading people in spiritual things. I cannot see anybody more demonized than a pastor like that standing in front of people. Honestly, the wickedness, the way he dealt with this woman, no wonder she committed suicide, was terrible. It was demonic. And yet he's preaching there. That is called the doctrine of demons. Yes. Where you believe and you follow people that are actually so wicked, but you just don't have any sense of discernment in you, and you just like this adoy of church and it's all fun. There's no discernment on the power and the magnificence of the glory of God in a place, because that will not fall in a building like that when people gather. Okay? That was a bit of a rabbit trail, but anyway, we'll take it to that. That's birth pangs. Then you'll be delivered up for tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I've been hated for the things of God. It doesn't bother me. It hurts, but it doesn't bother you eventually. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. I've seen many fall away. I've seen many betray one another. Okay? And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. There are many false prophets. A lot of them sit on YouTube, splurting and blurting forth all sorts of stuff. At some point, I'm like, do we need so much prophecy? Can you stop prophesying? Can we just like do what the word says and just listen to what God's saying to us now, but just keep talking? Like, and next week it's another one, and next week's another one, but what about the previous one? Like, we haven't even, it's too much talking. Just listen to what the Lord said, but they're leading people astray. And people are grabbing onto their words and hoping and holding on. Oh, the prophet said, and he has $100 for prophesying over me. And people want soulish prophecies. Prophesy to me that I'll have a baby. Prophesy to me that I'll give birth to a child, but I can't. They want you to say the things you want to say. And the false prophets fall into that. Amen. And they please the people. That sounds a lot like the Old Testament, where give me a prophet to tell me what's going to happen in my kingdom. And then all the real prophets were locked and put in prison because they told the truth. Yeah. The truth prophets today are actually saying, people, buckle up. There's a time coming. You need to know the Lord. You need to start understanding where we're standing and at the kingdom of God, the things we're facing right now. These are birth pangs. These are the things we're walking through. Okay, and will lead you astray. I've known many being led astray. The prophet said, well, what did the Lord say? Okay, and because lawlessness will be increased. Wow, that hasn't increased much. We're such a law-abiding society. Goodness me. Lawlessness, that is just a free-for-all, anarchy. 80-something murders a day in our country. That's lawlessness. A free-for-all, just absolute wickedness at its full attempt. Go. Traffic lights are a suggestion to stop. They're not to you know, get there. The love of many will grow cold.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Many, many grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is speaking life to your soul. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep holding on. It's not going to change. I'm not going to fix this. It's not going to go away. But that you just keep standing. Keep believing. And then he says these words, and this gospel of the kingdom will be, not must be, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Keep being a shining light of the gospel to wherever you are. Just speak hope and life. Gain credibility with people in your workplace. Just speak the truth. Don't preach to people. Just speak the words of life over their souls. Just think, why don't you just try and encourage somebody this week? Just speak life over them. And you slowly build the credibility they trust you. Then you can start speaking the truths of what's going on in the world right now. And then he starts speaking about the abomination of desolation. Now, we know this is referenced from Daniel. So when you see the abomination of desolation, now he's speaking, there was a time when Antiochus, what's his name? That's guy, okay. That he came in and defiled the temple. It was a foreshadow of what's still going to happen. Okay, what's going to come. When you see this happen, that happened after Christ, a few hundred years afterwards, he was a Greek guy. Antiochus Epiphanes, whatever his name was. Epiphany. It's something like that. Epiphanes, thank you. Here we go. All the scholars in the room, speak up. Okay? When you see the abomination, and I preached to Daniel, we've gone there. We've touched on this stuff. Spoken about the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. Let the reader understand. Take note, folks. Take note when you see. Let those who are in Judea flee. Now he's talking about imminently in 70 AD, they had to flee Jerusalem. I was reading something this morning that one of the early church fathers, his name was, it'll come to me now, never mind. He estimated in his writings, and they could prove his writings right because they had how many copies of his writings? And they needed to say about 1 million Jews died in a day in 70 AD. There was such a big fight that came through the Romans arriving to take over there through the guy Titus, I think his name was. And those who were in Judea flee to the mountains, and there was a certain little town that these people fled to. And let the one, but it's going to happen in the end times too. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down and take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing infants in those days. That must have been horrific, but there's going to come a time when it's a similar thing. Pray that your flight may not be winter or Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. He's speaking about the end of the age now. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. That if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. Think about that. Prophets and great Christs, or whatever they call themselves, apostle this and the pot or whatever. They could do great signs and wonders. It could not be from God.
Yeah.
But yet we follow them because, wow. Great signs and wonders. So as to lead you astray. And if possible, even the elect. What is that whole leading you astray? Leading you astray is that you believe false doctrines, false theology, false understanding of the things of God. I've got a sermon brewing here on false foundations. If you build your life on those false foundations, the house won't stand. And there are subtle foundations that we build our lives upon that actually will crumble and fall in times like this. What's happening now is your faith is being tested because things are just not going well. Life is challenging. There's a lot going on and it's testing your faith, even the elect. See, have I told you before? And so that if you If they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will be. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then he will appear in heaven, and the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. This is the foreshadowing of this feast that's coming up. Oh Lord, let that trumpet sound of the sign of your coming for your people. And they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other. And then he speaks about the lesson of the fig tree, that you can tell that when it starts blossoming, you know it's summer coming. And so he's like, you must start recognizing signs to give you indication of the sign of the times we're living in. This times we're living in is birth pangs. That is an indication of the times we live in. Yeah. Yes. Prepare yourself, prepare your heart, get your house in order. Set your things in place so that you serve the Lord with your whole heart and whole life. Get your family working and living for the things of Almighty God. Prepare. Okay? And because as heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. And so will the coming of the Son of Man. And it speaks about two men in a field, two women grinding and doing things, and different things happening. He's going to come in a moment. And it's preparing our hearts that we might not see that. I mean, we were talking with Ella. I'd love to be here. I'd love to see him coming in on the clouds. That would be phenomenal. Hey, the joy of our King arriving. But are we going to be with him? Have we been taken already? And we're coming with him, and he's going to come and sort everybody out with the final judgment? We've spoke through that. There's a series I'm in the middle of doing. We need to finish. Let me just finish up here. Yeah. Yeah, and he finishes up with Matthew 24. But I wanted to say as we wrap up here this morning, It is a painful process we're living through right now. And that's, as I said, that's just the stuff that we're known and aware of. We're all facing things. We're all walking through different circumstances and situations. But what this is doing to us is it's causing us to mature. And it will produce fruit. What I want to say to us is that in the midst of seasons like this will play on your insecurities. When you're unsure about something, you're insecure. So when you are walking to a room and there are a whole group of, say, successful kind of like business people that are all suited up and tied up, and you walk in your jeans and your shirt and you kind of wonder who those are, you're going to feel insecure because you don't feel you fit in. Our faith has a similar element to it. That if you are walking through situations and seasons and trials, and you're worrying and wondering where God is and how this is planned, you get insecure in your faith. And you only become secure in your faith when you get to know the One of faith. Yes. And it builds that strength into you, because insecurity will cripple you. Insecurity will lead you to having things of bitterness. And it says in Hebrews that don't let the root of bitterness come, because it's the root of beginning that it will just says it defiles everybody. And you've got to deal with your own heart in places like this. So when you hear a testimony, we celebrate somebody. We don't get jealous. We don't go, oh, it's great for you. We celebrate because we know God can do it. And there are things that we are being tested with in this season and time. And I just want to give one example, and then we're going to wrap it up here. Esther, I want to thank you for your message. Okay? You doubted yourself. You sent it to me, and you said, I've got a word from the Lord. Then she sent me another message. It's like, I don't feel, you know, things like, no, spot on. We'll talk some more. And I just want to summarize a little bit of what she's saying in a word to us as we wrap up here. Because we sang that song, Lord, shine your, show me your face. Show me your face, Lord. We sang it the other morning with Tiana, and Tina was leading. And she was saying, God, I don't want to just experience the countenance of your face and the glory at church. I want to see that at home. I want to experience you at home. I want to know that glory, that encounter with you to go with me. I don't want to just have these moments at church and then I go back and I don't have anything like that. I want to experience the victory, the breakthroughs. And she speaks about number 6:22, his face shining upon you. Okay? I want to live an experience and how with Jehoshaphat, the battle belongs to the Lord, because it's about preparing and positioning yourself for that and trusting for it. Then she said something very interesting, and not interesting, very truthful. In South Africa, we have a thinking that part of our suffering is that we must be poor. And I suffer for the Lord, and being poor is good, because that means I'm suffering. No, that's not the Lord's heart for us. We live in a system that has caused poverty, and the Lord's heart is not that for you. And we have to. It starts with a shift of mindset, and the Lord's working on your heart. I think you will grow in this. The Lord will show you stuff in this. Okay, He's not called you to be poor. He's called you to suffer, and walk, and believe in things. But it's not a position of, oh, well, this is just my lot. And I think you carry something in that area. We'll talk more into that. There's more to say. Here's an example of when you believe for something, but you feel you're not worth it. So last year, we had to do a whole middle of the year, and I'll finish with this as we wrap up, a whole application to high schools for our boy, Aiden. And now you've got to go to all the open days. Since Aiden was 7 years old, I felt God nudge in my heart. Sachs is the school for him. Oh, cool. Yeah, great. I don't know anything about sex. We play sex. I'm thinking, one day you'll be there. Okay. So we got all the open days. We got a Weinberg's open day. Impressive. Wow. I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, wow, this is really good. We got a Rondebosch's open day. Sorry, all the Rondebosch old boys, very prideful and arrogant and stuff, whatever. Lovely, lovely venue there and stuff, but whatever. And stuff. There are no Rondebosch old boys in this place. Eh? Now we can talk about how we want you now. Rondebosch, right this morning. And we go to Sachs' open day, and I have internal turmoil in my heart because I didn't feel worthy. The school's too big for us. It's beyond us. We're not going to cut the grade of the school. And I had this whole, babe, I was like, I don't think we're good enough for that school. I just think it's too big for us. But 7 years ago, the Lord nudged my heart, and he kept it in my heart for 7 years. And then the moment I was faced with the decision, I started doubting. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And then it comes to, you've got to fill the application in online, and you've got to go in order of preference of schools. So I'm like, let's just do Weinberg first, because all the boys from Kirstner Primary, like 90% of them go to Weinberg. So we'll just go with the pack. And just go where everyone else goes, because then we'll definitely get in there, and we'll put Sachs second. And if we get in Sachs, then we'll just take it. And we'll just say, Weinberg, sorry, we got Sachs. And the Lord said to me, do you believe me or not? Whew. Are you going to put sex number one? I'm like, oh man, this is hard. Because what happens if he gets rejected and then you put Weinberg number two and they say, well, you can't come to Weinberg either. I'm like, then he goes nowhere. And homeschooling's not working in our home. We don't do that stuff there. And so, by faith, I was like, okay, sex number one, Weinberg number two, Rondebosch number 10. Way, way back. Way back. I'll stand for this. And then one morning, as I'm starting, go to start my prayer watch, and I open my emails, it's now 5:10 to 6. There's an email from Sachs. I'm like, okay, this could be yay or nay. Yeah. And I open the email, and it says, we're happy to inform you that your boy has been accepted. I ran into the house, and I said, Kathleen, she thought my dad had died. I was so emotional. I was like, you won't believe. But you see, it's not about the school. It's part of it. Did you trust what God said to you? And I doubted. And then I had to put my faith where I thought, this is not going to work out. We got rejected at Weinberg, and we got rejected at Rondebosch. We only got accepted at Sachs. And now I'm saying, God, if you've placed him there, you must now provide. Because I'm so glad he wasn't playing in the A-team hockey or the cricket, because if he was, we'd have to fork out about 50 or 60 grand just on tours he'd have to go on. Yeah. That's another level. But God, you open the door, you must, and he is making a way. And he has made a way already. Yeah. See, where Ivan from Lavender Hill always says, where he guides, he provides. Yeah. Okay? Now this is what's happening. Your faith is being tested in this season. If he has spoken to you and said things to you, do you believe it? Or are you going to fall to what The world will require of you just fit in with the pack and go, okay, we're just kind of stuff. No. He's your rhema, that rhema word thing, the way you explained it, Tracy, was brilliant. We sang to Warren and Tanya, get that rhema word. Hold on to that rhema word that he's spoken to you. We're going to believe Warren is going to be back here playing drums. Amen. We have to believe for that stuff. Can I want us to pray together, because what are we saying this year? And sorry, I've gone on here and on. We are making our homes the place of his presence. See, Esther, you're going home. You want to come to God there. You're a priest in your home. Okay. We live and exercise our mandated priestly authority through holiness and purity, because why? We're a family as an army standing, and we're going to keep fighting in these days, folks. We're not going to just let up because it's just too hard. And oh God, the enemy's kind of stuff. No, we are victorious in the King. But man, the trials we walk through, we keep believing. And we're going to stand together in faith. We're going to see people's debt being cleared. We're going to trust for that. We're going to trust for health. Now, I'm not emotionally blurting out like, ah, ah, anyone claps and believes in it. Bro, you're never going to see the million cleared off me. God can do it, but he might do it in a process where you get more income and money and you pay it off. And it doesn't land out of the sky. He gives you the ability to do it. Yeah. Things will happen, but you've got to trust it. You've got to process it, because the systems of this world are brilliant at they grip you. And then you're bound by them. And then you don't believe God, you believe the system. We can't believe the system. We must have all our faith in God. Amen. And he will provide and he will pour out. We trust for health. We trust for jobs. We believe for stuff. Come, let's stand together and we're going to just believe and honor what the Lord. Sorry, I went on a little bit reading Psalm Matthew 24. It's a long passage. The song I wanted to play over us this morning is, we won't do it. I want to read the words for the song. And it speaks about being sovereign over us. Sorry, no, I don't have it yet. Just let me find it quickly. Yeah, and the bridge goes like this, is that even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, Lord, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. So, Father, we thank you. And let's lift our hands this morning, folks, and just honor him this morning. I know you're walking through stuff. If you've got things you're trusting and you're believing for, whatever it might be, the stuff you're facing, just lay it before him. Lay it before him, because the testing of your faith is going to produce something so good in you. And so, Father, we stand as your people, a true family as an army here this morning, knowing, Lord, that there are some dire situations. There are some horrific things, families, people are dealing with. But Lord, you don't stand from a distance looking down going, well, I can't do anything. No, it's saying you are interceding. You sympathize with us because you've also been in the situation of being on this earth and the pressures and the rejections and the failures and all the things that happen in our lives. You sympathize with us, Almighty God. But yet, you are praying for us. You're intercede for us. And so, Father, I want to pray over every heart here this morning, that these words spoken this morning would bring life to our souls, that our spirits would come alive in understanding that we can't conjure up faith, Lord. Faith comes from who and what we believe in. And we say, we believe you, Lord. We believe your word is true. We believe, come and say that after me. We believe your word is true. Say it again. We believe your word is true. Say it again. We believe your word is true. Now, he's spoken a word to you. Like that sex journey. He spoke a word to me. I had to be tested whether I believed it. And we say, Father, I pray our hearts would be tested, but that we would believe you. Give us courage to keep standing. I pray for testimonies, of powerful testimonies of your goodness being poured out upon hearts and lives. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Be strong in the Lord and the might of his power. Hallelujah.